This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, the weekend edition of Family Research Council's Washington Watch.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm your host, David Salkeld, the constitutional conservative, husband, and homeschool dad. A little later in our program, we'll be hearing from two of the folks who spoke at the Truth Conference, which was held at Tony's home church, Greenwell Baptist Church, in Baton Rouge. Frank Turek and Lauren Green will share their insights on living out your faith in the world around you. But first, you may recall that there was another terrorist attack in London last week, perpetrated by a Syrian immigrant. Congressman Ted Poe of Texas joined Tony on Monday to talk about the confluence of illegal immigration and terrorism. Here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony.
Well, and I'm sure you've been tracking this issue. Yet another refugee committing an act of terrorism in Europe. Is this going to draw new emphasis to that issue here in terms of resettlement and immigration in our country?
Well, I certainly hope so. The individual that was brought into or taken into Great Britain, as you said, was a Syrian refugee. The other one was from Iraq. And I don't know why countries want to bring this trouble on themselves and take that chance. So Great Britain's answer is not to stem the tide of refugees, but to go after social media and also education programs. That's their two responses for this recent attack. I would hope the United States just sees the obvious. Why should we take a greater risk by bringing in people who may have a tendency to be radicalized and cause harm among us? I don't think we should take that chance. We shouldn't take that chance with the lives of American citizens. And so I hope that our Department of Homeland Security sees this. I believe President Trump does. He has been trying, in spite of the courts, to try to stem the tide of people coming into the United States that are from certain countries, whether they be refugees or whether they be from one of the six the countries that he has tried to keep people from coming in because they can't be vetted. And I hope that we learn the lessons that obviously the Europeans have not learned.
I mean, I agree with you, Congressman Poe. I think this should validate the steps that this administration, this president, has taken to provide for greater security for Americans. I mean, there's a pattern here. We're seeing this over and over in Europe, and it's being traced back to the lax immigration policies that that Europe has. And it's just a matter of time till we see a proliferation of that here.
You're exactly correct. And my concern, one of my concerns, is that the Europeans are getting used to this. They may be believing, well, oh, that's just the way it is. That's just what happens. And they're going to have a sense that, well, we just have to tolerate this type of activity by refugees who come into Europe. That's a wrong attitude. Acceptance of this type of criminal activity is not the answer. In fact, they should be more outraged each time this happens and demand of their own governments that their governments do something about this lax refugee policy that they have.
You know, Congressman Poe, it seems to me, it sounds like a parallel where in Europe with this these terrorist attacks by the these radical Islamists, they want to control social media. It almost sounds very similar to the left here in this country wanting more gun control to address gun violence. But we have found in places like Chicago, making it very evident that that doesn't work.
Well, that's a good analogy. It is true. Social media may help to radicalize some of these individuals, but I believe they would be radicalized anyway. It is not social media's fault that people commit terrorist acts. It is the individual's fault that they commit terrorist acts.
Do you envision Congress weighing in any more on this to be proactive in? I know the House has been very supportive of the president, the Senate not so much so. But I would think that the weight of evidence is beginning to stack up now that people are going to be, I would hope, be held responsible if we are not proactive in moving forward to protect Americans from such attacks.
The question is, how many more of these attacks does Europe have to have before we get the message in the United States? Our goal should be the protection of Americans and people living in the United States. The goal should not be to bring in refugees into the United States at a security risk to Americans and people that live here. So, the responsibility of government is to protect the people. It is not the responsibility of government to take actions that make it riskier for Americans' safety. And so we're getting our priorities mixed up. We may have a tendency to get our priorities mixed up unless we understand what is happening in Europe, that these terrorist attacks, one after the other, ISIS claims responsibility for, and what happens, we learn. And no surprise to anyone that these folks, in many cases, are refugees from Syria.
You know, when the president is talking about securing our southern border and building, you know, the wall, now it's not all a wall, part of it's fence, but anyway, the wall, this is not, as some like to portray, like an anti-Hispanic thing. Because there are a lot of folks, in fact, I'm not sure the percentages, but it could be half or more of those coming near that, coming across the border, that are not from Hispanic, other what they call OTMs, other than Mexicans, that and many of them with ties to Islamic countries. Am I correct?
That's right. The word OTM, other than Mexican, is a legal term that is used in the federal government to mean other than Mexican nationals. About half are OTMs, other than Mexican nationals. So that means they're coming from where? Coming from all over the world. And many are from South America, Central America, Europe, the Middle East, all over the world. In fact, when I was down at the border recently, the Border Patrol had apprehended three folks from Ukraine who were illegally crossing into the United States. I mean, how did the Ukrainians ever find Texas was my question. But anyway, so
they heard about that Tex-Mex food.
But everybody in the world knows that the southern border of the United States is not secure. So they come, if they want to get in to for whatever reason, whether it's a reason that it's lawful or unlawful, crossing in the United States illegally is something that is easy to do, and people in the whole world know that, especially the bad guys, whether they are would-be terrorists or whether they are criminal gangs or whether they are the drug cartels. All those folks know you want to get to the United States, cross the southern border.
It seems like to me, Congressman, the humanitarian thing to do would be to secure the border for both those who are being brought over and for the people primarily here in this country.
Well, no question about it. You're absolutely correct. That's very logical. It is the humanitarian thing to do. It's both humanitarian thing to do, as you said, for people that are being smuggled in the United States, and it's also the humanitarian thing to do for Americans.
Yeah. Congressman Ted Poe, as always, great to talk with you, my friend. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
You can find out more about Congressman Poe when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues of the day. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back to talk about being a lighthouse with your faith.
The Center for Medical Progress continues to release shocking videos that expose the lies and crimes of Planned Parenthood. Come to Values Voter Summit to hear from David Delighting, the heroic undercover journalist behind the Planned Parenthood videos, as he discusses his journey and the courage it takes to stand up for the unborn. Other invited and confirmed speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Michelle Bachmann, Franklin Graham, Dana Lash, and many more. Register now at valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. Last weekend, Greenwell Baptist Church hosted the Truth Conference, and one of the speakers was Fox News Channel's chief religion correspondent, Lauren Green. And Lauren talked with Tony just prior to the conference about her new book called Lighthouse Faith. Here's Tony Perkins.
We're joined now by Fox News Channel's chief religion correspondent, Lauren Green, and author of a new book, Lighthouse Faith. It's... We're going to go to the second page there. What's the rest of the title,
God
Lauren?
God is a living reality in a world immersed in fog.
Appropriate.
Yes.
Appropriate. Well, let's talk first. By the way, great to have you here in Baton Rouge.
It's wonderful. It's my first time in Baton Rouge. And you brought out the humidity, I see.
Oh, this is actually mild.
Really?
This is mild.
Okay. All right.
But anyway, good to see you here. And actually, it's I'm glad. This time I'm asking the questions. You were asking them last week when I was up in New York.
I feel so much more in control
asking
the questions.
That's how it works, isn't it? Well, let me ask you, just first off, title. You are the chief religion correspondent at Fox News. The intersection of religion. Mm-hmm. And news, politics, life in general.
Sure. Well, you know, from my point of view, because I study religion, every news story has a spiritual element to it. I mean, that's the broader story. That's the broader element. So I see faith elements or spiritual elements in pretty much everything and how people think, how people, what people believe about what should be done. But when you're covering religion, I also understand that what I understand is that you're covering belief systems. And no matter what religion you are, no matter what denomination you are, no matter where you are, everybody has a belief system,
right.
Even if you're an atheist,
right?
You have sort of this either tacit understanding or tacit belief about where we come from, where we're going, how you treat people, and what the purpose of life is. So from that point of view, you can look at everybody and understand that everybody has a belief system, whether or not it's the same as mine or not, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. It's a belief system. So in that case, they fall under my purview of religion. And then of course, the idea is that I'm a Christian, so now I understand. My presupposition will always be that Christianity is true. But it does not prevent me from looking at other religions and understanding, yes, that they also believe that their religion is true, that the truth claims that, that they believe in are just as truthful to them as it is for me.
But I think it's very important what you said, that we all have a belief system.
Yes.
We all come to view the events around us through a filter.
Right.
Now, I'm not asking you to name many names, but when you look at the national media, and they all have religion correspondents, but many of
actually they don't, not exclusively. They all have reporters that do cover religion, but not exclusively.
And that's my point. Many of them, they cover religion, but a lot that I've encountered don't have an understanding of religion, especially the Christian faith.
Well, I think they understand what they understand. They have a doctrine of a secular worldview, which says that every religion is basically equal.
So that's how they're viewing religious events.
That's the doctrine of the media or doctrine of the secular worldview. That's basically what it is. What they don't know is that that's a doctrine in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the same thing that happened when Christianity came on the scene. Caesar wasn't upset that that Christianity was there. They didn't. What they were upset about was that Christians said that their God was God over...
See, I think that's a very important distinction. What you said is that they don't acknowledge that they have a worldview, a presupposition.
Right.
Whereas Christians, we acknowledge up front that we have a biblical worldview, and that's the way we're analyzing events. Doesn't mean that we're not going to fairly report them, but we're going to view them and report them from a biblical perspective in the context of how we understand truth.
See, and I'm going through this in a story that I covered this week about... the three churches in Texas suing FEMA over the funds for rebuilding, and the idea that secular somehow is neutral and then Christianity is somehow not is, and I have to use the line of the great apologist Dr. John Frame. He says there are no neutral positions when it comes to religion. Everybody has a position, a presupposition of what is right and what is truth. So, but the problem that I think we're running into society today and culture today is that Christianity is no longer the identity of the Western world. And so all of the doctrines and the ethical principles and the morals of Christianity for so long were just sort of like habits.
Right.
They weren't really things that we did.
It was like a default position.
It was a default position, you know, like I was talking to you before that, you know, we've been living off the collateral of Christianity mm-hmm. rather than really understanding its tenets. You know, people did things because it was a habit. Why do you not have sex outside of marriage? Because only, you know, because bad people do that. You know, bad girls do that. Not because, well, that's not the way the order of the universe goes, and God did made it so that this is the best way for us. So we didn't get that. We took a sort of default position of bad people do this and good people do this, without understanding that a loving God would create this wonderful thing called sex and then want us to enjoy it and then say, but these are the parameters. And that's the thing, that's just one example.
You can find out more about Lauren Green when you visit tonyperkins.com. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, helping you stay informed on the issues that matter to you. You can donate when you visit tonyperkins.com. When we come back, learn how you can defend your faith.
Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. One of the main emphases at the Truth Conference held last weekend at Tony's home church was knowing how to defend your faith, and I think you'll find our next guest really engaging on this topic. Joining Tony for a live show just prior to the conference was author and speaker Frank Turek.
Frank, welcome.
Great to be here, Tony.
Glad you're here for the Truth Conference. This is our first kind of launch into the Truth Conference. Our youth minister, Nathan Lott, really kind of been heading this mm-hmm. up because, you know, increasingly we're seeing, and this is for everybody, but we were driven more by a burden for young people being able to defend what they believe, know what they believe, and be able to defend it.
Do you know what I think everybody, regardless of their worldview, can agree on? I mean, I don't care whether you're a Christian, an atheist, an agnostic, a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Hindu. Doesn't matter. If I were to ask any one of those people this question, what's wrong with the world? Nobody's going to say nothing, right? Everyone's going to say there's something wrong with the world. Something just isn't right here. And what we're going to do here at this conference is talk about the solution to what's not right. Everybody listening right now knows there's something wrong with the world.
And the polling data shows that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nobody's going to go, everything's great, everything's perfect, there's no problems. Everybody knows there are problems. Personal problems, societal problems, religious problems, environmental problems, whatever. There are problems. What's the ultimate solution? Where is this whole thing going? Because there is excellent evidence that what we call Christianity really is true, that there really is a God, and Jesus did really come and rise from the dead and prove he was God. And by trusting in him, you can have your sins forgiven, and you can ultimately be given his righteousness, which is amazing when you think about it.
And that's why I like, and I've actually taught college and career class on your book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, mm-hmm. because you look at the moral argument, the teleological mm-hmm. argument, you break this down to say the evidence is overwhelming mm-hmm. that we're here because God created us.
That's right. And he has a plan for us. And the ultimate plan is for us to know him, not just intellectually, but volitionally, personally, because he has provided the pardon, if you will. He's provided the sacrifice for the problems that we've created. And by trusting in him, we can have our sins forgiven and be unified back with God and live with him forever. I mean, that's ultimately the plan. But not everybody wants that. Not everybody wants to accept that. That's fine. Everyone has free will. But here's the evidence. Take a look at it and see what you think's right.
But is it possible that part of the reason we're seeing growing hostility toward religion, Christianity in particular, mm-hmm. not just here in this country? I mean, we're seeing, you know, Christians are mocked. They're made fun of by Hollywood. But, you know, last year there was a report 90,000 Christians lost their lives globally. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing this in the Middle East. I believe that as we grow silent here at home, Christians die abroad.
That's true. Absolutely. Yeah.
But my question for you is, that, is our silence because we don't understand that the faith is verifiable and it can be defended?
I think that's part of it. I think many people don't understand. They think it's blind faith rather than trust in what we know to be true. See, that's what when the Bible talks about faith, most of the time it means trusting in what you have good reason to believe is true. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean just throw my brains out the door and I just trust in anything. No, you're trusting in what you have good evidence to believe is true. In fact, John sums it up in one amazing sentence in John chapter 20 where he says, these things, these signs, these miracles were done so that you may know that Jesus is the Savior, and by trusting in him, you can have life in his name.
And Jesus, when he prays for the his disciples in John as well, he's talking about, he prays that they would be one so that the world would know that God sent, the Father sent the Son. And that's amazing evidence. When you think of a world that's so divided, when people can walk in unity together, that's a miracle.
Yes. Yeah, we need that here. We need unity here. And I love what C.S. Lewis said in his book, Mere Christianity, that basically that's what the whole thing is about. Mere Christianity. What are the essentials of Christianity? There is a God. You are not him. I'm not him. We've all broken the standard of righteousness out there, which is God's nature. And since God is a just God, he has to punish that. Otherwise, he's not just. So how does he punish it? He punishes himself in our place.
Right.
He adds humanity over his deity, and he comes to earth, and he pays the price for us. And by trusting in him, we can have our sins forgiven, and we can live with him forever. That's where all this is going. So what's wrong with the world? We're wrong with the world. But God is right with the world, and he can make it better.
All right. You said that that's part of the reason, because people don't feel adequately equipped to defend the faith, don't understand it. Yeah. What are some of the other reasons?
I think some of the other reasons are people are afraid. I think fear is part of it. People don't like to be mocked. People don't want to bring it up because they think, well, I don't have an answer for this, and it is just blind faith for me. So I think that's part of it. I mean, you need to have a certain amount of courage, I guess, to get out there. Even, you know, as you were saying earlier, Tony, there are people losing their lives over this, and we're afraid to put a note on Facebook because someone's going to unfriend us. I mean, that's
a reality.
Wow.
That's a reality.
Gee.
I think this is an age in which we have to have courageous Christians. Christians who are bold and courageous. And, you know, going back again to John, where Jesus was warning his disciples, he said, look, you know, they hated me first. They're going to hate you. I mean, he warned us that, look, not everybody's going to roll out the red carpet for you.
No, and Paul said, everyone who lives a faithful life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Jesus said, you will have trouble in this world, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So you will go through difficulty here.
But there's a reason for us to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
And uphold the truth, live the truth. It's so that others might come to know the truth.
Yes,
this is the only way the gospel moves forward.
That's right. And we actually enhance our capacity to enjoy God when we go through difficulty, right?
Yes.
When you go through difficulty, and many of you out there are going through difficulty right now, when you come out the other side of it, you've enhanced your capacity to enjoy God. You've enhanced your capacity to appreciate the important things in life, too.
And you've learned the depth of God's grace.
That's right.
Because as Paul said, he said, dealing with his issues, he said, you know, God's grace is sufficient to meet all of our needs. Mm-hmm. And as we go through these difficulties in standing for the faith, you know, I often have heard people say to others, I don't know how you did that. Well, the only way they did it was through God's grace, and that grace is allotted for when we are in that particular situation.
Absolutely. You know, for Tony, I understand why people are wary of politics. I understand it. You know, it's not the most pleasant thing to be involved in. You know,
in Louisiana, it's a blood sport.
Yeah. I mean, well, you've been involved in national politics for 15 years or so.
Yeah, but that's
now.
Easy compared to
that's
Louisiana
easy.
Politics.
Okay. But I want people to think about this, that people say, oh, let's just preach the gospel and get people saved. I'm all for that. I try and do that every day. But people don't understand that politics affects your ability to do that.
Absolutely.
Politics, the laws that are made in Washington, here in Baton Rouge, in your localities, whatever your state is, whatever your locality, they affect whether or not you can preach the gospel, believe it or not.
We are seeing that increasingly. I mean, ask the bakers, the florists.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You can't do this radio broadcast that we're doing right now in Iran, in China, in North Korea, in Massachusetts. No, maybe you can do it in Massachusetts still. I don't know.
In Canada. You can't do it in Canada.
You can't do it in Canada. That's right. Why? Because politically they've ruled it out. That's the real issue.
Yep.
That's it.
We have, I believe as Christians in America, we have a right as American citizens, but as Christians, I believe we have a responsibility to be engaged. Now, I know you'll agree with me when I say this. We don't believe that our hope is in politics,
no.
Our salvation is in politics. Mm-hmm. We simply see that as yet another area of the world that we need to be involved in, just like education, entertainment. We are called to bring the light of the gospel to every realm of society.
And to bring protection to every realm of society. That's what governments do. They're there to prevent evil people from hurting others. And that's, even Paul talks about this in Romans 13. In Romans 13, he says, that's what the government's there for, the sword to prevent innocent people from being hurt. And so we as Christians want to ensure everyone's protected, and that's one reason we're involved in politics as well. But this isn't about politics. I just brought that up.
But we're talking about the truth, and there is an intersection with the ability to live out our faith.
That's right.
But ultimately, I think it is, how do you do it? How do we successfully live out our faith in the 21st century? And why? Why do we need to do this? Why not just, have our little huddles and, we bless one another and then we go back to normal life? That's not authentic Christianity.
No.
If you want to find out more about Frank Turek, just head on over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues affecting your faith, family, and freedom. And if you find the weekend edition of Washington Watch informative and useful, we'd encourage you to tell your friends about Washington Watch. You can help us reach more people with this radio ministry by supporting our efforts and heading over to TonyPerkins.com and clicking on the donate button. Well, that's it for this week's show. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 866-372-7234.